Welcome to Eastern Sierra Now. It is Friday, January 14th, and I am running like a chicken with my head cut off. I wonder if there's any other animal. That's just a disgusting thought, Jesse. Is it just chickens? God, I hope so. Can you imagine that? There's a headless bear running through the forest. It's got a picnic basket. There's a smaller bear in tow. Hey, Jesse, you're a sick bastard. Okay, so I sat and recorded about 15 minutes of my opinion on the PJI meeting this weekend with Supervisor Jen Rozier and her decision to be a part of it as well as back out. After listening to the supervisor meeting and talking to many people on both sides of this issue, I have come up with what I think would be the wisdom in this situation and what I personally think should be happening here. And that is giving everybody the benefit of the doubt and waiting to react to an actual action, not reacting to something that you think is going to happen. And that's being said to both sides. And I believe that's probably true for the entire nation. But hey, it's not time for my opinion right now. We got some news to get to. So I'm going to put my opinion piece at the end of today's podcast. So if you'd like to listen to that, go to the last 15 minutes or so and you'll be able to hear my side for whatever that's worth. But in the meantime, let's get to some news. So, there was a semi-truck accident this morning. A semi-truck driver from Delano, California, was driving a 2015 Freightliner semi-truck trailer. The semi-truck was traveling northbound along US 395, just north of Brockman Lane. The semi-truck had pulled into the center median in an attempt to negotiate a right turn into a private residence. At the same time, a driver from Bishop, California, was driving a 2010 Ford Explorer, northbound US 395, north of Brockman Lane, at a high rate of speed and behind and to the right of the semi-truck driver. Due to the Explorer's high rate of speed, the driver was unable to slow in time before crashing into the front right side of the semi-truck. The Explorer continued in its momentum and crashed into metal fencing and a tree. The impact caused the driver of the Explorer to lose control and overturn across US 395 and into the southbound lanes. At the same time, a driver from Houston, Texas, was driving a Ford Econoline southbound on US 395, just north of Brockman Lane. As the Explorer overturned, it crashed into the left rear side of the Ford Econoline. The semi-truck and trailer came to a rest, blocking the northbound lanes of US 395. The Explorer and Econoline came to a rest on the southbound shoulder of US 395. All parties were able to exit their vehicles, and only minor injuries were reported. Personnel from CHP, Inyo County Sheriff's Department, Bishop Police Department, Bishop Fire Department, and Emergency Medical Services responded to the crash scene. So if you want to read that or check out the more information, you can see that at EasternSierraNow.com. There's a couple of pictures. There's the Explorer upside down. Yeah, they took a tip, didn't they? Yeah, I heard about it this morning, and I was just waiting for CHP to get the information out. So there we go. What else do we got here on this beautiful Friday? Why don't I just go in order instead of importance? That way we can just get through this. So there's a free entrance to Death Valley on MLK Day. Good old Martin Luther King. He was great. Thinking about visiting Death Valley National Park. Entrance fees will be free at a national park All National Park. Oh, cool. National Park Service sites on Monday. I didn't read that right the first time. January 17th in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So, January is a great month to visit Death Valley, said James Woolsey, acting superintendent. The low-angle winter sunlight makes the contours of the sand dunes and mountains more photogenic. For trip planning advice, you can go to the park's website or just go to Eastern Sierra Now. You'll see the link here. All national parks will also have free entrance on the following dates. Saturday, April 16th. Is National Park Week, the first day of National Park Week. August 4th is anniversary of the Great American Outdoors Act. September 24th, National Public Lands Day. And November 11th is Veterans Day. So if you want to plan some family vacations and get out and see some of our beautiful landscape, those are the days to do it. And they are listed at Eastern Sierra Now. So Mammoth Parks and Rec have temporarily postponed indoor programs. Boo. Due to recent dramatic surge of COVID-19 cases in the community, we have made the difficult decision to temporarily postpone our indoor programming through January 28th. The health and well-being of our participants and staff is our top priority. Programs affected by this postponement include Co-Ed Adult Indoor Soccer League, Co-Ed Adult Indoor Volleyball League, Hotshots Basketball, and the new Baked Cooking classes. Outdoor programs, adult hockey, curling, and ski lessons, or ice skating lessons, will continue at this time. However, we ask that you do not participate if you are symptomatic or have been exposed to someone COVID-19 positive in your family or household. Parks and Rec will monitor the current situation and respond accordingly. We look forward to seeing you all soon. Hotshots Basketball's co-ed league for elementary age students, 3 to 5, and this league will teach grades 3 to 5. Excuse me, that's a very little basketball league. We represent the Hotshots Basketball League. This league will teach participants the basic skills and gameplay of basketball to help prepare them for the middle school basketball program. Games will not be scored, nor ranking be recorded. Cost is $45. Got canceled. So, point of reading that. I think you can get your $45 back if you already signed your kid up for that. So check it out. Same thing goes for soccer and volleyball. So they're postponed. That sucks. I can't even imagine how much that would have killed me when I was a kid if I couldn't play basketball. Maybe I would have gone on to a career in acting and television and production sooner instead of wasting a solid 10 years of my life blowing my knees out. Hey, hey, that's that. Hey, did you see that video we posted? We took a drive, just a quick drive, right through the Alabama Hills, one end to the other, got some shots, put up some facts about the Alabama Hills. It's just a pleasant video. It's a good way to chill out, good way to calm down. Cool music, Ella Boehm picked and put this piece together for us. Go check it out. It's all over Facebook, but just Eastern's here now. And when you get there, go to YouTube. Would you please like and subscribe? That would be amazing. We have been such an uptick lately. We're getting like 10 subscribers a day, and it's amazing. I want to get to that 1,000 mark, so... we'll do something pretty special if we get to that 1,000 mark. So maybe we'll buy something and do a raffle or something. I don't know. We'll do something cool. But hey, be one of those people. The new numbers, the INYO numbers were released for COVID. I'm not going to read them to you. Just go head over to Eastern Sierra now and you can check them out there. Looks like everything's still going up pretty crazy. Another really interesting thing. I won't read all the way through because we've already gone long since I had to have my rant. There is some business... You gotta love Stuart Brown. He does an amazing job of putting out all this information from Mammoth. Gets everything out you possibly could ever want to know about anything Mammoth related, and he does it at 4:45 every day when I'm recording the news. I almost have to cut out that bing 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 that was just there every day because it's like on schedule, which makes sense. He's writing it all day long and then posting it. So good on you, bro. I got to give you mad props for doing such a good job up there in Mammoth. Speaking of Mammoth, but not just relating to Mono, this is INYO as well. There are some business funding opportunities. Jeff Simpson put this together with Mono County, and there is funding available for energy efficient refrigeration. So if you're looking to upgrade a commercial kitchen, you can get some help putting in better refrigeration units. So you can check that out. To contact, go to Pam Bold, which would be at bold@highsierraenergy.org. Great lady to work with. I've worked with her through this website before. Another thing, California Rebuilding Fund, $56.5 million in funding available to help state's smallest businesses build back from COVID. So small businesses means less than 50 employees and you make less than $5 million a year. There's a couple other requirements. Head over to Eastern Sierra now and check it out. The loans are flexible, transparent, and designed to help businesses access capital. And there is a pre-application listed at Eastern Sierra now. But remember, this is not the PPP program or any other SBA program. These loans are not forgivable. This is something you will be paying back. And I believe it's a 3 or 5 year term with a fixed interest of 4.25. So you really need some funds. Here's a place to go, but maybe that's not the smartest way to go. Employee retention tax credit is still available. And that is eligible employers can now claim a refundable tax credit against the employer share Social Security tax equal to 70% of the qualified wages they pay to employees after December 31st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021. Qualified wages are limited to $10,000 per employee per calendar quarter in 2021. Thus, the maximum ERC amount available is $7,000 per employee per calendar quarter for a total of $14,000 in 2021. All the details are listed at Eastern Sierra Now. And thank you for that, Jeff. Another friend of the show. Good guy. He does a great job. Learned a lot of social media from him, actually. I got an obituary, unfortunately. Catherine Hensler. I don't believe I knew Catherine. Catherine Hensler left this earth on January 9th to join her maker in the heavenly realms. Catherine was born July 30th. That's my birthday. I guess it was her birthday first, 1934, in Arkansas, and later moved to California, where she met and married the love of her life, Kenneth Hensler, on August 5th. That's in 52. Together, they have five children: Mike Hensler, Lindy Richmond, Mark Hensler, Kathleen Wolf, and Stephen Hensler. After nearly 70 years of marriage, Kenny stood by her side as Catherine took her last breath. Now, that's sad and sweet. Catherine lived a legendary life filled with adventure, laughter, love, and a large, tightly knit family. She spent many years skiing with her children before switching to snowboarding with her grandchildren. Later in life, she could often be spotted joyfully making her way down the slopes with Kenny or sitting inside the lodge with one of her many children and their families. Catherine was a talented artist who enjoyed doll making, painting, and sketching. She had an unquenchable thirst for life and a zeal for sharing every moment of it with those she loved most. She had a passion for gardening and planted a rose for each grandchild born into her family. Catherine spent many years of her life in Mammoth Lakes, where she and Kenny raised their children. They later moved to Tehachapi, California, where their grandchildren were raised. As the grandchildren left home, Catherine and Kenny built their dream home in Bishop, where she spent the last 10 years of her life. The extensive family left behind by Catherine Ivy Hensler will carry on the legacy of strength, devotion, and love that she so easily taught to each one of her five children, 23 grandchildren, and ready for this, 56 great-grandchildren. That is crazy. That is a lot of kids. What a big, great family. So sorry for your loss, but it sounds like she was an amazing person and lived an amazing life. Like I said yesterday, I hate reading obituaries, but at the same time, it can be positive and uplifting if you take it from the right perspective. Speaking of positive and uplifting, you guys been to Minaret Cinemas lately? You know, they're the place for entertainment. Took me a couple times reading that sign, and then I was like, oh, I get it. Minaret Cinemas is fantastic. They renovated the inside. Those chairs, I almost don't ever want to go to another theater now that I've been going there, because they lean all the way back. They're electric. It's so comfortable. It's pretty great, and they serve crazy amounts of food. You know, you could get hot dogs, pizza, everything you could possibly think of. You know, Minaret Cinemas is a fantastic place, and we here at Eastern Sierra Now have struck a deal with them, so we will be showing times, ticket prices, all that kind of stuff for movies, and in exchange we will be reviewing movies for them and pushing this out to all of our countless viewers. So today we have, written by Manuel Ruiz, we have Scream 5. Everybody loved Scream when that came out. That was such a big deal. Such a great movie. Whether you like horror or not, it was great. That was a really good movie. I can't say as much about the sequels, because no sequels, especially in horror movies, ever really live up. But this one might have, actually. You know, I haven't personally seen it. Manny did and wrote this, and after reading this, I'm thinking this is something I'm going to go check out. The series that redefined the horror movie genre continues and is still fresh as ever. The fifth film in the popular franchise, Scream 5, takes place 25 years after the brutal murders shocked the quiet town of Woodsboro, California. Now, a new killer dons the ghost face mask and begins targeting a group of teenagers to resurrect secrets from the town's deadly past. What made the original Scream movie, written by 90s horror writer Kevin Williamson, so unique is its meta approach to the slasher genre. Not in the same way that Scary Movie films were more of a parody, but in a way that held a mirror up to all the cliches that slasher films are known for, and then turning them onto their head, leaving the viewer uneasy because the movie broke all the rules. Other slasher films follow, which normally makes the average Scary Movie goer feel more relaxed. When you take away that relax, now that's suspense. As the series continued, the next three big directed directed by horror legend master of suspense Wes Craven, who is famous for Nightmare on Elm Street, as well as many other things, but I'm sure that's the biggest of them. Each Scream film kept having something new to offer. Sure, each movie was someone in a ghost mask and a voice changer device, but they were anything but a rehash of the original. Like the first film, each film focuses and uses the tropes and cliche horror movie sequels are known for. And now, in 2022, Scream touches on the direct sequel, or requel, as a character calls it, where the next installment in a franchise disregards any film that came out after an original film, starting a new narrative. Halloween 2018, Candyman 2021 are two more recent examples of this. Even non-horror franchises like Ghostbusters did the same thing, like with Ghostbusters Afterlife. What makes Scream 5 stand out from those is its self-awareness that this movie universe is playing into all the cliches, which for the lead protagonist can help them find and beat the new Ghostface killer. Like with the most long-awaited sequels to popular movies, Scream 5 does not shy away from bringing back the original characters fans of the series grew up loving, such as Dewey Riley, David Arquette, Gale Weathers, Courtney Cox, and Sydney herself, Neve Campbell. Unlike the series that they like to bring back original characters for the sake of fan service, the original Scream characters are anything but underused or underdeveloped for that matter. They all look like they have been up to many things since the last film, 10 years prior, giving the audience a sense of who they are now and what difference they will make towards the new movie this go-around. Scream 5 is a true suspense ride that most horror films lack in recent years. Whether you're a fan of the original or just a fan of horror, be sure to check out this film. However, even though there have been four other films, the movie is not light on the gore or scare factor. It's a very intense film, with many pulse-pounding scenes and gore that will make the most nonchalant moviegoer shield their eyes. If you plan to take the family, be sure your children are ready for some thrills. One thing is for sure, after seeing Scream 5, you'll leave knowing you had a fun experience at the movies. For Wes Craven, who passed away. Scream 5 is rated R for strong, bloody violence, language throughout, and some sexual references. For tickets and showtimes, you can head over to Eastern Sierra now, and there's a link there that will take you to Minaret Cinemas is the place for entertainment. And there you can get your tickets and showtimes. I have to laugh because I know Manny so well. If you're going to take your kids, they better be ready for some thrills. Well, that explains why Manny is Manny. If anybody knows him, you get it. Clearly, he went to horror movies when he was a kid. Oh, Manny. No, he's great. I love his take on stuff. He's a filmmaker himself. He's won multiple awards for screenplays and things like that. He knows what he's talking about. So it sounds like this was a good movie. I would trust his opinion. So if you're interested in some bloody, scary date night, date my ex. But if you want to go see a movie that seems like it's going to be full of thrills for the kids, go on a date to Minaret Cinemas is the place for entertainment and see Scream 5, which is playing now. Okay, that's going to be it. As I said at the beginning of this 2.5 hour long podcast, I will be, as long as I'm allowed in, filming the PJI meeting tomorrow, so look for it by Monday. I will have edit up online of the entire event. There won't be any editing, there won't be any silencing or not showing people's opinions, just like I did with the masking thing. I put every bit of video I had. I will do the same thing with this, and I will pack an extra battery. So check that out, and again, stay open-minded. Just because you don't agree, it doesn't mean there's room for hate in anything, and I say that to both sides, the other side as well. You shouldn't hate on us vaxxers, just like us vaxxers should not hate on you. There needs to be a way for both of this to get along. And we'll see what happens afterwards. Oh my gosh, idiot. I almost forgot. We have a segment from Coach Ashley McLaughlin. Coach?
Coach McLaughlin here. Did you know today, Friday, January 14th, is National Organize Your Home Day? I can't believe someone out there knew that we needed at least one day a year to dedicate to it because the rest of the year would be a struggle. Am I right? Look, I'm not saying I always live like this, but when my fridge is clean, organized, and looking pretty, I swear I eat healthier. I have 5 tips to keeping your fridge organized. Tip number 1 is don't store dairy products in the door. Tip number 2, don't mix fruits and veggies in the same drawer. Tip number three, use trays and baskets to organize everything. Tip number four, line the drawers and the sleeves. And tip number five, two words, Lazy Susan. If you want more in depth what these five tips are to organize your refrigerator, click on my link in my article. Hope you guys liked those five tips to organize your refrigerator. Who is going to organize their fridge this weekend? I know I will be. This has been Coach McLaughlin with Eastern Sierra Now.
That's a good point. My refrigerator is disgusting. I probably better organize that. If you want to send pictures of your recently organized fridge to Eastern Sierra Now in the comment section, please do. We'll try to post them. It'll be hilarious. Yeah, that'll be good. So, here we go. As mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, here is my opinion on what I think was going on with Supervisor Jen Rozier and the PJI event that is taking place that we will be filming Saturday. Remember, I filmed this at the beginning, so I had to chop it up because I didn't want you guys to have to listen to my opinion for 15 minutes and then listen to news. So now you can either stop or you can go ahead and listen to what I think about this. And after that, we'll get out of here. Okay, so before we get going here, one little thing I want to say, and I've been, I wouldn't say shying away from, I just haven't really wanted to chime in because it is a hot topic issue. It is a big deal. I can completely understand why people are pissed on both sides, and I can get behind both sides. I could, if this was debate class in high school, you could pick me for either side, and I would be able to make a good case for it. This whole PJI thing at the churches this weekend with Supervisor Jen Rozier speaking. So many, many members of the public have reached out to me wanting to give their opinion about it and make sure that I'm, I don't know, I wouldn't say attacking it, but making sure that people know that this is inappropriate and that PJI, the Pacific Justice Institute, has been called a hate group, anti-LGBTQ, and many things. I believe this talk is going to be more about anti-masking, which technically to hold a public place meeting, I mean, I'm not, I'll get to the point here, but, you know, is if you're not wearing masks, then you, it's illegal. You are supposed to wear a mask in public settings. And so it would be a supervisor speaking in her, even though her intent wasn't to go as Inyo County Supervisor Jen Rozier, it's labeled on the flyer Inyo County Supervisor Jen Rozier. So she is speaking in turn as herself. And as we can see from all the politicians and celebrities and everybody that's out there, no matter what you do, being in the public eye, you're in the public eye. The little amount of public eye I've had since I was, I don't know, 15 or so with Get Real with Jesse Steele and all the other crap that I do, I've had to learn that what you say will come back at you in a way that you don't intend it. And in my honest opinion here, that's what I think is what's happened with Supervisor Rozier. My first thought was, oh my God, why would she sign up to go talk with these people that are a hate group? But then I sat and thought for a little while, and I realized Supervisor Rozier's job is to listen to everybody that's her constituent. So that means when I come up to her and tell her that the color purple is awful and it should be completely removed from the crayon box, she has to listen to me when my neighbor is saying color purple is the best color in the crayon box and we need four of them per pack. And she doesn't get to choose who she stands next to in that situation. She needs to speak her truth, her opinion, weigh all of the sides, and then go from there. Is Supervisor Rozier much more conservative than liberal? Of course. You know, and she was elected under that, you know, she it wasn't a guise. She wasn't hiding this. So while I stand with LGBTQ citizens and friends, living the actor life, that's who you're surrounded with. You know, amazing human beings. I love them all dearly, and especially those that are my supporters of this podcast and website. I'll always stand behind you and help you in any way that I can. Just like I will the anti-maskers and the anti-vaxxers. Some of the people I love the most on this planet are anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers. Does that change how I feel about them because I am pro-mask and pro-vaccine? Absolutely not. Just like it doesn't change if they're pro-Trump and I'm pro-Biden, or I'm, you know, pro-Bush and they're pro-Gore, or what, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm so fluid in my politics that you can't really say I'm this or I'm that. And the one thing I can stand behind always is that I will never, ever put somebody else down in a serious manner. I'm going to joke because I'm a comedian and that's what I do. But if it came down to, oh, I don't like you anymore because you're not going to get a vaccine, that'll never happen with me. You never have to worry about that. And as a journalist and somebody that's in the spotlight, in a position here with this, you know, media thing that I have growing here, I will always look for both sides, and I will never take one side over the other. I'll give my opinions, sure. But if you write in and say, I'm an anti-masker and I think this blah, 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 I'm not going to be like, you're a stupid idiot. Because my opinion is one thing, their opinion is another thing. Who's the idiot here? The one who decides to separate them. That's the idiot. And I think I can applaud Supervisor Rozier after watching the supervisor meeting. I tried to actually record it so you guys could hear it, but the audio didn't work and I ran out of time today. So I will try to get something up. I'm going to go film the PJI event this weekend. So I'll try to piece something this weekend showing what she said about it, what they actually spoke about at the thing. Because here's my main point. We don't know what they're going to speak about. We don't know what Jennifer Rozier was going to say. We don't know that she has a Klan hood in the back of her truck she's going to put on and go have a Heil Hitler meeting here. That's what she was being put to. That's what people were saying was going to happen. How dare she? She must hate the gays. She must hate the blacks. She must hate the maskers. She must hate the... None of that is true. You know, I know Jen pretty well. I'm actually one of her constituents. She is a wonderful person. I've never had issues with her in any way, and I would stand up and say that to anybody. So that was one thing that I think was missing in this situation. It's so... In this world that we live in right now with the ridiculous PC culture and the ridiculous... cancel culture and everything, nobody wants to listen and actually hear the truth. So it comes from a fantastic movie. I believe it won about 9 Oscars about 20 years ago, starring the greatest living actor on the planet, Ryan Reynolds. The movie was called Van Wilder. And one of the famous quotes in that, and he even says, write it down because I want you to quote this in the movie, is worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it's not getting you anywhere. That can be applied towards everything that's going on in our planet right now, but I'll speak for our county, but you know, the country in particular even. Worrying that Jin is going to show up with a noose ready to attack these people wasn't true. And as she mentioned that in the supervisors meeting, her intention was to show up and say, we need to create better civic discourse. We need to understand how to speak to each other better, how to listen better, and that is how we are going to get through these differences together instead of calling each other names and yelling at each other. And like, look at that masking event that I went to at the school board, the video that we have. Every time a doctor or somebody on the pro-masking side speaks, they're cut off 12 seconds into it and told they're liars and it's fake news and fake, 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 when these people went to school for this topic. And then you've got somebody out here that runs the local Jell-O dispensary or whatever their job is, screaming that they know more than the doctor. Well, that's not true. But it's also not true that their point or their opinion isn't just as valid as the doctor or nurse or teacher, whoever's speaking. The point is, we need to be civil with each other. We need to listen, we need to hear, and then react. If what they said deserves your discourse and your anger and your hate, absolutely. Attack. But wait until they say it. I think that was the problem with this. Everybody jumped on board with, oh my God, these guys are a hate group and whatever. Well, they're labeled a hate group by another group. If they were labeled as a hate group by the FBI, well, yeah, that's ridiculous. But they're not. They're labeled as a hate group by another group. So who's to say that other group isn't the hate group? Again, I'm not trying to take sides in this. I'm just trying to show the wisdom of balance. I try to live my life that way, with looking at things with balance. I tend to teeter to either side many times in my life. But I think the smartest thing that we could do here is wait for the problem to exist before we address it. And I think that's what was going on. And that's been my week-long wisdom of thinking about this in my ancient old age of all my learned wisdom. You know, it actually ain't the years, it's the mileage. That's true. I think that's the trick. We need to listen. We need to see what's said. And then if what was said is outrageous, we'll let the outrage begin. Absolutely. But it hasn't been said, so we can't attack until something was done. You know what I mean? Listen to me acting like you're actually going to respond. If you can, go to the comment and tell me I'm full of shit. That's cool. That's the point of having a platform and a podium, is trying to get the right message out there. And sometimes that's hard, especially when your platform is something like social media. It's really, really easy to say something when you don't have to back it up. It is really difficult to say something when you have to back it up. And if that backup means getting punched in the nose, you know what I mean? If the people forget that actions have reactions, that's just a law of physics. And social media doesn't respond to physics so well. So you can attack and say everything you want, but when somebody calls you out in public, oh, no, I just posted that, but somebody else posted it. That, you know what I mean? No, so you got to stand up for yourself. You got to say what you think. And that's why a lot of times people get really pissed off if I film them at public meetings where I am completely within my right to film them. Because when they see it later, they realize they looked nuts. What they said was stupid, not thought out well. They're reacting with passion and emotion towards something they firmly believe in, but that is not going to cut it, because facts is facts, and that's what it is. So I have to say, it probably wasn't the smartest choice of Supervisor Rozier to agree to participate in this based on the heat that the company already had, and she has to hold herself at a higher standard because of who she represents, and that's all of us, as well as the fellow board. But that being said, I don't think her intentions were ever malicious. I don't think her intentions were ever negative. I think she was trying to open discord with people, to let people say what they thought. Her intention, from what I understand, what she said in the supervisor's meeting, was to just tell people how she got into a position of civic duty, and that it's important for people to do that. If you feel the call to open up dialogue, listen to people, hear people, not just tell what you think and expect everybody else to agree or they're stupid. So I actually think she was doing the very best she thought she could. It just was maybe a little misguided in this situation because of the heat on this. But I think everybody needs to stop on both sides and say, you know what? Let's stop vilifying everybody and let's just hear what they have to say. Get their opinion. And if I choose after your opinion, you've told me what you think, I think you're a dipshit, well then, you're a dipshit. Okay, cool, that's fine. You know what I mean? But don't do it before you know who the people are. You know, the PJI people, it sounds like I'm not going to like them either, based on the stuff that I've seen them say. I've looked up YouTube videos and all that, you know, and I don't think they're going to stand with what I personally believe. But that doesn't mean that I hate them, or I dislike them, or I'm going to call them out. Same thing with the Free East Side and all those people. I'm sure many of those people are my friends, you know, and I'm not going to call them out and say, oh, well, you're part of that. Well, then I don't want to be your friend anymore. That's ridiculous. And that's where this country has gone wrong. You know, here I am in my my political platform, which I really don't care about. So I just felt, after watching the meeting a little bit ago, and I will be going tomorrow. You know, we've already gone 12, 13 minutes into this, so I apologize. I just feel it was important to say, this is what's going on. Have an open mind. Be ready to react. Don't act. It's just a simple basis of Miyagi-Do karate, for those of you Cobra Kai fans out there. It's about defense, not offense. So, get ready. We'll see what they say tomorrow. Maybe I'll eat my words. Maybe I'll plug this in and go, wow, these guys are... And there we go. But I think everybody deserves the right to be heard and deserves the right to surprise you. And I think that's where things have gone wrong. So I stand behind my LGBTQ community. I stand behind my anti-masker community. You know, I'm not trying to play both sides of the fence. I'm trying to play the human fence. Imagine a human fence. That'd be weird. Hey, Jim, I'm going to pay you $12. Stand there and be my fence. So I think the main point that I'm trying to get to, summed up to one simple phrase, is We got to love each other, man. We got to listen. We got to trust and respect everyone. And that's what social media has done, is take away the trust, love, and respect. So go back to doing that. We're all equal. We're all amazing human beings with amazing things that we can do. And we disagree sometimes. That doesn't mean it should be an enemy. It doesn't mean there should be canceling and all of that. But we've already gone through all this. So this has been Eastern Sierra Now, giving you something to think about. And by Monday, we should have a video posted, hopefully, of this event. And we'll see that it probably wasn't such a big deal after all. And if it is, then holy cow. All right. Thanks for listening. Eastern Sierra Now. Have a good weekend. This is Jesse Steele.